Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Is it flu season or is it not? How many people in the office this week had the flu? Half your office had the flu. Hopefully you did not. At the end of the show, I'm going to give you dozens of tools to make sure you never get it. Still today, the flu. Each year, the number one cause of why we don't make it to work. The flu is number one. I believe low back pain is still number two. And number three is irritable bowel syndrome. Two of those three we've covered. I didn't get to the flu yet. It's so common, the common cold. But let's not overlook it. First of all, why every fall, every winter do we get flu? Because of the word cold. Cold. Cold is an element, like hot is an element, like wind is an element. And the thing about cold is cold means vasoconstriction. In the cold, you constrict blood supply. You constrict nerve supply. In the cold, you constrict your bronchioles. So right there, cold, flu, no good. The lungs seize. The kidneys get cold. Now, in Chinese medicine, the kidneys got an interesting function. And you experience it each day. The kidney is responsible if it's stretched out. So I'm going to refer to you to your massage experience or your stretch Pilates yoga experience where you stretch out the low back. Do you ever feel a nice warm feeling rising up your back or into your lungs? Because in certain perspectives of organ physiology, the kidneys send warmth to the lung. Again, if your kidneys get cold, and you know what that's like, you put on a little weight, you put that shirt on, and that shirt was just a little bit too high on the back because you grew a little belly. And you sit there at the office, or you go out and you work out, or you sit in the restaurant, or whatever you do, you just get this little chill in through the back. Again, the word cold into the kidney. And so the kidneys, the burner, or the heat driver of the body, the kidney, gets cold, and you get it in the throat or lung. So cold across the board is not good for the body for these reasons, unless, of course, you can compensate very nicely, and can you? But here's the other point. Damp. Cold, damp. If you put both of those together, both of these elements together, cold, damp rain, cold, damp snow, which is not to say dry, if it's extreme, isn't a problem. But really, most of what we're talking about is that winter cold, sort of damp. Damp's the same thing. Now, what does damp do as an element as it attacks the body? It builds the mucus that you're already building, unfortunately, because over the holidays you didn't eat right. So let's just take back here and talk about mucus and cold and damp. When your body eats food that irritates it because of the toxic buildup in the intestines, that inflammatory response starts to create the secretion of mucus into the bowel. And that mucus is damp. That mucus overflows into the lung. And as I'll go into in a moment, lung and large intestine are paired organs. So look at that. It's cold. It's rainy. It's snowy. It's damp. And the dampness it embellishes, it accentuates the mucus that's already developing in the body because the food's not right, because the food's irritating the bowel. And that cold and that damp overflows into the lung. So it makes the lung susceptible. And of course, common sense dictates, what do we usually do? We put hot, expansive remedy on the lung to combat the cold and the damp. Now, I'm going to scan the board here, and then we'll get focal, but another word that relates to the flu, stress. And, you know, we didn't even have that relationship worked out at one point. A number of years ago, it was a decade or two ago, somebody with a microscope saw a nerve fiber on an immune system cell. A nerve fiber on an immune system cell. And out of that realization came the confirmation of what common sense just told us, that there's a relationship between the immune system and the stress and a cold. But until they actually saw it under the microscope, they wouldn't really support that stress gets people sick, and I mean just the common cold sick. But out of this thrilling visual of a nerve fiber on an immune system cell came psychoneuroimmunology. The entire field to which we devote entire floors in universities now all over the world came out of this acknowledgement. Again, this little moment where the public and just good old common sense is miles ahead of science. But when they finally saw it, they blatantly understood. Psychoneuroimmunology, yes. When you have stress, it doesn't take a genius to tell you, but you got to hear it anyway. Chronic stress or acute stress, either way, paralyzes the immune system through the nerve flow. Stress constricts. Under sympathetic dominant, a word I hope you know, under chronic stress, when the sympathetic autonomic nervous system predominates your daily existence, you're going to be in a constrictive state. Once again, stress. That's constriction of blood supply. That's constriction of nerve flow. That's constriction of your bronchioles. That's constriction of the throat. Yeah, the muscles constrict to the psyche. So maybe you're the one that's consistently getting throat problems where your friend doesn't get any. And just maybe, yes, this can be true. It has to do with the fact that you don't feel heard in your family, or you don't feel heard in your job. Or it may be a structural issue. You may find that your lung, by virtue of the birth traumas, or the way you came out at birth, the way your body was shaped, the lungs tend to collapse. Have you ever seen people? And you just notice that in the pectoral areas, the pectoral muscles don't grow out, externally rotating the shoulders. Like the stereotypical person that slouches, and when they're not slouching, they're still slouching. If you slouch naturally, you got to get that fixed. But just for the point of the flu and colds, what's going to drop into the lung can easily be created by somebody who just their natural posture is the head comes forward and the shoulders internally rotate. You know the kind of picture I'm painting here. If the head comes forward and the shoulders internally rotate, that throat is collapsed into the lungs. That is a compressed space. That space will not drain infection. The lymph do not drain out of that spot. The blood and the nerve does not flow in. So we're going to go all over the board here. I'm going to give you angles on the flu today, and you're going to see what they apply. And at the end of the show, we're going to sum them up to create quite a powerful portfolio. So psychoneuroimmunology telling us what we already know, that stress, for reasons stated, can cause the flu. Now, how you're going to fight the flu depends on how it comes into you. So there's not one cure for the flu. Unfortunately, we haven't had flus the way they did. What was it? The Spanish flu. 1914. Through 1918, it took one out of every four people in Europe. Can you imagine that? A flu like that. a flu taking one out of four people. Just a virus. Just a little mutant virus. And we've had these little scares occasionally from the avian bird flu, so on and so forth. But it's always at one out of four or one out of five. And so the question, of course, is what are the other three doing? Oh, it's just genetic. Nonsense. It's the terrain. It's not the infection, it's the terrain. Now, you got to balance that. Microbes are smart. They trade genes. They reconfigure their DNA. If tomorrow we were all breathing chlorine gas, tomorrow morning we woke up, the law said there's no more oxygen left, everyone's got to breathe chlorine, I think most humans would die. But, you know, if you did that to a bunch of microbes, if you did that to a bunch of viruses, what they do is reconfigure their genetics so fast, so astoundingly powerful, so at the speed of light, they would continue to refigure, multiply, refigure until some little virus, some little bacteria, some little parasite would beat the genetic code. And that's what they do. Infinitely adaptable. And so this is a thing. You can't just call it the terrain, you see. But you should. Except that these microbes are so smart. Yes, there really is an infectious issue. So it's not only the terrain. There's a balance between the two. But 9 times out of 10, it's the terrain. Now, as I said, how you fight it depends on how the flu comes into you. So let's just talk about the flu that comes in. Into the lung. The flu that comes into the lung very often is related to mucus in the large intestine. Were you constipated that week? See, this is why often when we eat bad, we get the flu. You're always going to go back when you get the flu and think. It's going to be stress. It's going to be the way you ate. It's going to be some fear-based thing that happened that caused the stress. It's going to be some tooth work that you had, some dental work you had. It's going to be some injury to your low back. It's going to be some problem you had with the neck that related to lifting too much weight in the gym. And if you understand it in this way, you'll understand how to get yourself out of it. So let's just start with the holiday food thing. Interesting, right? I don't think it was at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Everyone was running around going, you know, Charlie, there's this terrible flu going around. Don't get that flu. Oh, stay away from him. He's got the flu. We weren't hearing that. It took the holiday. The holiday food stuff makes what? Mucus in your gut. Not enough HCl, not enough bile, not enough pancreatic enzyme, not enough raw food. And by the way, while I'm on this, raw food touted all the time as the thing to do. Yes and no. It's pros and cons. It's cost and benefit. Sometime you've got to lose the battle to win the war. Raw food, good. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Why? In cold weather, raw food makes damp. Damp cold. That's right. That hot summer day, salads are wonderful. That cold, rainy January morning, maybe those salads are going to do what? Create an even more cold, damp condition. Oh, you know, I've eaten terribly over the holidays. I feel all bloated. I'm just going to go on salads this week. I'll get those salads in the meal. On a cold, damp, windy week, those salads are going to create more cold and damp. One thing for sure, if what you're eating to clean out in the way of raw food isn't causing bigger and better bowel movements, you're building cold and damp. And you don't want to do that in the intestine because the overflow, as I've said, will go up into the lung. And that mucus buildup in the lung traps little pockets of bacteria and things start brewing, or virus. So, just a little tidbit there. Raw food is good, but when you start to feel icky with it, had a gentleman this week gotten himself into quite a tizzy doing the cold raw food. All of a sudden the intestines blew up, the infections coming out the skin, the byproducts of poor digestion coming out the skin. How can this happen? I'm on good organic grass-fed this, that raw food. kale, raw salads, at a certain point, it's no good. You need, usually, around the flu, warm, soothing. Warm, soothing, decongesting. This is where throwing that garlic in is so smart. This is where throwing the cayenne in is so smart. This is where doing the soup, the hot soup, is so important. This is where the hot tea is so important. These are things you already know. I just want to give you maybe some of the backdrop and physiology so they're tougher for you to forget, which you will, and thus the number one cause every day is the flu. People don't go to work. How did we get it? So, got this concept now that if the bowels plug up over the holidays or for whatever reason, that's going to go into the lung, number one. Should you do an enema? Again, another question, the cost benefit of the enema, whether it's a coffee enema, a water enema, a sesame enema, a chamomile enema, a probiotic enema. Check this out, and this is why you must understand the physiology of the body to master your health. Not just cookbook, blindsided, mechanistic one-liners. You have to have depth, and that's what the show is about, to bring you depth. StraightTalk.cc. Get to the website. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I have to remind you who I am if you're new to the show. The issue with cold and damp with an enema may do what? It may bring you more cold and damp. So if you're constipated and you want to clean out, that's a great idea. But when you put water up there, even if it's warm water, that's bringing more damp into the body. If you have something dropping into the lung, be careful with an enema. But you got to weigh that against, if you can't get the feces out of your body, cost benefit, that enema may do well. So here's how you might look at it. If you're going to put an infusion of liquid into your body, and it's that liquid's just in there long enough to create an evacuation, cost-benefit, you're on the better side of the fence. But if you're talking about a coffee enema, and you're holding that water 10 minutes, 12 minutes, this sort of a thing, you may find that because of the length of time, or a probiotic enema, you may find that the length of time that you put that water in there makes by the end of the day, once it gets cold in the evening, it'll come more deeply into the lung. Enemas are a great way, and you don't want this, a great way of moving a flu from the throat into the lung. So what I'm going to leave you with is counsel on the enema cost-benefit scenario with the cold is simply what? If you got to do it just to get the feces out and it takes a minute or two, bingo, you scored. But if it's in the throat and you know in the past it may drop into the lung, spare yourself that. Don't hold that water. Okay, there's a principle. Now, if that flu comes in through your connective tissue, Chinese call it the Wei level, W-E-I, what flu is that? That's the flu that starts with the muscle ache. And that line there, just between the muscle ache and the beginning of the flu, for people that live in a lot of muscular tension, that's a very, very thin line, isn't it? Sure. You're no stranger to tension up in the neck and shoulders, and then it just bumps up a notch. And in your mind, it bumps up a notch simply because what? Well, you were lifting those packages. You fixed the flat on the car. You did some gardening. So it's normal, and boom, it's got you. Listen to the body in flu season, especially for that slight notch up, that slight bump up in muscular tension. If you can get it, the minute your muscles get tighter, if you're listening, and if you're not listening, what's the sense? Everything is listening. All this verbiage is an exercise to get you to listen. So if you're listening to your body and you just find in that one moment your tension increases for that half day, bingo, you're going into it. That's when you sweat. That's when you stretch. That's when you get a massage. And if you can, the ultimate, I think the most powerful thing I've ever seen, when somebody starts to get that flu that's coming in through the muscular system, again, not the intestinal system, not a buildup of mucus in the intestinal system overflowing to the lung, but simply a buildup of muscular tension, say neck and shoulders, it's going to go after your throat. Best thing I've ever seen, the infrared sauna. Now, Healthline's got these TheraSaunas, I believe they still sell them. Get a better grade infrared sauna. You can pick one up for $1,000. Put a Gauss meter to it. Check my show on radiation, the Gauss meter from Becker. And check to see and make sure that there's not too much radiation coming out of the infrared sauna. But pick one up. A one-person infrared sauna. They even have these little tunnel things. These really small ones, they're like tents, and you can go in. They will make you sweat. You get that heat into your kidney. You get that heat into your chest. You get that heat into your neck and shoulders. Bingo. You knocked out the flu before it dropped more deeply into your body. Some flus come in through the way level, through the musculoskeletal level, and you're going to feel it as a shred of tension. And if you can pull them out through sweating, infrared, I think, being the most dynamic, before they drop more deeply, you beat the flu. If you don't have one, maybe you have an infrared blanket, and you're going to go in that for 60 minutes and sweat. Maybe you're just going to bandage yourself up. Yeah, grandma's remedy. Put on 5 layers of pajamas, get under the thermal or the down blanket, and sweat it out, of course, to which you're going to add the castor oil. The castor oil pack. Now, one thing I want to augment here with the use of the castor oil. Again, we get Oz from Kerala in India, where it all started from what we know. But Palma Christi, the hand of Christ, has been used all over the world from the beginning of recorded time. Take the flannel, soak the castor oil before you apply it to your body. Get the eucalyptus oil, or get an anti-infective oil like garlic oil, or if it's around the throat, carvacol, oregano oil. Liberally apply the oil to the body part that you're focusing on. Soak the flannel in the castor oil, soak it, and then here's the clincher. This is what I want to change about the game here. Go out and get, in physical therapy now, physical therapists have this. They have these form-fitted hot pads. Form-fitted hot pads. They'll fit around the low back perfectly. They'll fit around the neck and shoulders perfectly. For those of you with muscular injuries, they'll fit around the knee or the ankle perfectly, but we're not, of course, dealing with that today. But they've got these huge, they're almost like shirts, but they're hot packs. And if you throw that flannel 2-3 layers thick on the body, how do you hold it there? See, that's the challenge. The hot water bottle doesn't really do it. The hot pack doesn't really do it. But if you've got these form-fitted ones, they push snugly this layer of flannel that you put over your body. And then you heat up the hot pack, and then all the heat, and the hot packs are extremely absorbent. So they're way better than the hot water bottle. They're going to hold it much longer. Now, the electric heater onto the castor oil, onto the flannel. You know what I don't like about that? I don't like the EMF. And yeah, you can put protectors on there to counter, but you know what? You still don't get as snug a fit. If you take these form-fitted things that you can get from physical therapy companies, Abbey Medical in Santa Monica sells them, and you put them over the neck, the top of the shoulders, under the arms, and underneath that is this flannel soaked in castor oil, and underneath that is the eucalyptus oil you put onto the chest and the neck. And you give yourself 60 minutes of that after you do the infrared sauna, just when you're starting to feel that cold come in. Bingo, you got it. Of course, if it was really a matter of the intestines, if you'd eaten bad for weeks and hadn't really defecated correctly, and the mucus in the intestines is infecting and it's sending a reflex up to the lung, that might not, right, the castor oil and flannel really be the solution. The infrared then might not be the solution. So you see how you have to understand the physiology of the body to know how to beat the flu, because the flu's a different. They're smart. They come in a multitude of ways. You've got to read your body to mobilize the response. Fascinating, huh? You've got to read your body to mobilize the specific response. You've got to use your understanding of the physiology. No, you're just going to grab for the herb. We're going to get to herbs in a minute, and there are herbs to grab to, but you can take it on a deeper level if you understand your body. The kidney. The kidney. Some blues come in through the kidney. And as I said, in the beginning, the kidney's got a job to do. If the kidney's doing what the kidney's supposed to do, if the musculature around the kidney, the psoas, the quadratus lumborum, the transversus abdominis, if these muscles are doing what they're supposed to do, if the fascia around the kidney is not crushing the nerve plexus, the kidney will bring heat. You know this from stretching your low back. You know this when somebody gives you a hug and they just happen to massage your kidney just in the natural act of giving you a hug. And it runs through your body. Some circulation runs through your body. Well, if that same kidney gets cold on a cold winter day. A few weeks ago, I almost got snagged. I put on a pair of shoes. Now, check out how subtle this is. I have this beautiful pair of Italian shoes. I was doing a formal presentation. I put the shoes on. Loved the shoes, but the shoes didn't love the feet. And so I suffered through the shoes because I love the way the shoes look. And the floor that I was on wasn't the right kind of floor. And I could feel the constriction in the body. And then later on that day, into the evening, I sat down and I could feel that cold feeling into the kidney. Now I got rid of it right away. I understand how to finesse these moments. But do you? But you know what that cold feeling is in the kidney. In that moment, you stretch it out. You've got to understand some form of stretching in that low back area. Can't get into it now. But on the back, where you take one leg and you pull it over to the other side, so your torso or your shoulder drops down in one direction to the right, but your knee is going across your body to the left. It's kind of like a twisting corkscrew sort of a motion. It's the kidney stretch. To be proficient there in that moment and tons of other ways. Or to what? Get that castor oil onto the kidney. Or to what? Get somebody to go into your tissue. Even that night, if a loved one puts their hand into that tissue, or you pay an acupressurist, someone that does massage and acupressure, going into that kidney, to make sure it warms itself up, and you'll get that release all the way up into your lung. So large intestine can go after the lung. If the large intestine builds mucus, it can mucus the lung. But the kidney brings heat to the lung. The kidney dilates the bronchioles. The kidney energy, the kidney adrenal energy, dilates the bronchioles. And of course, let me slip in sleep. But we don't have to get into that. I know we don't. You know if you don't get your sleep, you'll get sick. But the thing is, if you don't get your sleep, you don't make your adrenaline. You don't make your cortisol. Adrenaline and cortisol, cortisol especially, as in cortisone, they have dilatory effects on the body's tissues. Anti-inflammatory, yes, but also they'll dilate the bronchioles. So that kidney energy from the organ to the adrenal gland on top of it is very much a part of what keeps those lungs and that neck area open. Now, I want to take neck tension. I want to take neck tension separately because so many people get the sore throat. and then it drops into the lung. Remember, occiput C1, C2. First and second cervical vertebra, if you're new to the show. Remember the vagus nerve coming out of the back of the head. And remember, if occiput C1 and C2 fibrose, if they get tight, if you're not savvy to cervical distraction, cervical decompression, having somebody gently toggle the head, having a chiropractor pull the head, getting on and knowing how to finesse an inversion table, a cervical decontraction table, even a certain type of chiropractic adjustment. Whether you got your home version of it, whether you just know how to stretch out the neck, however you know how to do it, remember the vagus nerve is coursing down into the lung. The vagus nerve is driving whether the bronchioles dilate or constrict. And remember, in the first instant, so let's get into a real close-up on the lung now. Once the lung is irritated by something that it's trapped, and once that trapped inflammatory, whether it's a toxin from a virus or a toxin from a bacteria, once either one of those two things begin the inflammatory process, what does the lung do? The lung constricts. Well, it doesn't want to constrict, so it depends upon cortisol from who? From the adrenal gland to dilate the lung. It asks the kidney if the kidney's doing what it wants to do to dilate the lung. The bronchioles, the upper respiratory tract, so it doesn't drop into the deep lung and you start dealing with pneumonia. So yes, the body's got its reserves, but if you don't have vagal outflow, if the parasympathetic cranial nerve 10, the vagus nerve, does not find itself coursing easily through the suboccipital space because you're compressed, occiput C1, C2, you don't have the vagus nerve to assist in the process. You are going to go down. Fascinating the way these chain reactions work. You getting the sense of how it really works? This is how it really works. We can't be simplistic here. If we're to claim the body is this marvelous divine engine, what, you're going to sum it up in a sentence? Well, what do I do for the flu? Is it like that? Is anything like that? Think about that. So here we have a concern with the cervical spine, the large intestine, the kidneys, the infrared sauna, the specially form-fitted castor oil packs, this perception of the muscular system being the first hit sometimes, the pros and cons of doing the enema, the concept of cold and damp, the concept of stress. You can understand why now the flu each year is the number one cause. Microbes tend to be a lot smarter than us in a certain level. Now, another issue. Those of you who will not do antibiotics, I applaud you. I don't do them either. Don't do them. They're horrid. But again, you're looking at cost-benefit. You're looking at cost-benefit. And usually cost-benefit, the antibiotic is not the way to go. But don't get obsessive-compulsive about this. If you're looking at something like a pneumonia or something that's dropping deep into the lung and you give it your best bet, don't be obsessive compulsive. Don't go through what could be a 6-month pneumonia, a 4-month pneumonia, loss of work and income, scarring into the alveolus of the lung, scarring into the bronchioles because you're into holistic health. And you wouldn't take the plunge into the antibiotic. So don't do it. Don't let it get there. Prevent it. But once it gets there, if you're starting to feel like it's going to go into the deep lung, the alveolar tissue of the lung, and you're into this borderline pneumonia, use your common sense. Always use your common sense. One thing you must avoid, and I don't want to be black and white, but almost at all costs, is IV antibiotics. For whatever reason, The net result I have seen over 15, 18 years of clinical experience with patients that do, that have done IV antibiotics, even for a four-week course or a two-week course, have been very, very harmful. You see a change in somebody's health. So number one, if you have to, you have to. Number two, if you've got to, bring the probiotics in right away. Do that. Take as many as you can take each day. 16, 20 a day, four times a day. The best probiotic you can find and flood the body with it while you're doing the antibiotics. Do that. And only if it's life-death you do these IV antibiotics. I think that's the strongest line I'd like to draw and go on record drawing here. When I meet people that for different types of infections, pneumonias included, have done these IV antibiotics, they're very, very, very difficult. All right, now, probiotics. Probiotics. Breastfed kids tend to be more immunoresistant. And many, many, many of the different compensations, the chemicals, the immunostimulants that we're looking on are from the probiotics in the gut. So this is always a consideration. It's an acute and a chronic consideration. Sauerkraut, gold mine sauerkraut. If you're the type that poops to sauerkraut, if you defecate to sauerkraut, not cabbage, sauerkraut, fermented cabbage. If you're the type that defecates to that, sauerkraut has a warming quality in the body. It's a warm, hot probiotic. It's a warm, hot, spicy probiotic. An infusion of fermented food at the onset of a cold, especially if your second sense tells you that it's in the gut, that it's in the large intestine, is a wonderful elixir for the flu or for something that's dropping into the lung. Not kefir, not yogurt. Why? Because they're cold and damp. So biochemically they work, but energetically they don't work. And you in the audience have heard very often this energetic perception of how you understand a food. So biochemically, a good strong kefir or a good cheese, an aged cheese. I found a wonderful cheese the other week. It's aged 5 years, an organic raw cheese. It's aged 5 years. Amazing food. But the bottom line is cheese is cheese. Cheese is cold and damp. Even if it's a good, warm, probiotic food, you're not going to get the right effect if you've got a mucus plug in your large intestine from eating half a package of cheese. The energetics of it is off. But sauerkraut, that's different. Bring in a fermented food. Bring in the capsules of probiotics. And start to feed that just as a matter of course in a flu. As long as they what? And here's the cost-benefit again. Don't cause you constipation. They have to produce defecation. Some people defecate the minute they take probiotics. We like that. You know what that is? That's a good, healthy reaction on the part of the body. Some people plug up. Now, that may be a longer, deeper, more problematic evolution as the war starts between the probiote and the pathogens that have had time to encapsulate into biofilms in the gut. But if you're about to come down with a flu and it's in your gut and you know it because you ate wrong in the holidays, if the probiotics create defecation, take them. I think statistically, I think sauerkraut is the best bet. But the probiotics, hopefully, that you got from the time you were little, right on through life, are something you have to cultivate all the way to the fecal enema. Well, I said fecal enema, and I'm going to get to that story in a second. I'm getting ahead. All the way to the probiotic enema, where you can take 10, 15 of the capsules of the probiotics and dissolve them in water, warm water, and then put them and hold them in the intestinal tract. Again, you have to be a little careful with that. Because if it's in the lung and you hold the water too long, so you got to use your judgment here. But for some of you, that may produce a wonderful bowel movement. And you can see the advantages of knowing these things ahead of time. So the minute you have crisis, you go right to your medicine chest, and it's not a bunch of Tylenol. It's about a bunch of techniques. It's about a bunch of things that you're versatile in. It's about a person that's feeling their body all the time, that knows what's going on. That's where the healing is. Those are the people that don't get the flu. And those are the people, if they get the flu, they get out of the flu. Now, you can have a great set of genes, and you can be John Q. naive about your body, and those genes may support you. But I guarantee you, even a great set of genes, when those people get into trouble and they don't have those relationships that you guys are developing over a period of decades, they go down the tubes. They go down the tubes because when you've got Godzilla knocking at the door, you don't have time to get educated. Get educated now. Now, I did say fecal enema a moment ago. I got to get this on the website pretty soon. And again, this is Straight Talk CC, Dr. Vincent Medici. Go to the website because I'm going to have an article that came out in Discover Magazine about half a year ago. Fascinating article. Fascinating. 23 or 27, I can't remember, people who were facing surgical resection of their small and or large intestine, meaning they were going to cut your guts out. And the reason they were going to cut your guts out is because the infections there had overtaken your immune system and you had failed intravenous antibiotics. You had failed IV antibiotics, which is bad enough. And in failing, the doctors had no choice because once you fail the IVs, that's the last stand. And basically the microbes are going to eat your intestines. If they eat your intestines, you'll penetrate, you'll pierce the intestine. You'll create a hole in the intestine. The feces and other bacterial data spews out into your abdominal cavity. You go into a septicemia and you're dead. Serious, serious situation. Fascinating story. All 23 people cured dramatically, 2 weeks. Do you know what they did? They went to the significant other, took their feces, mixed it in saline solution, and infused it into the intestines of the significant other. And I don't believe it had to be a significant other. Could have been anybody with a healthy body. The probiotics from the significant other went into their system and destroyed the infection. I'm talking dramatic cures. I'm not talking 1 year. I think the turnover time was like 2 weeks. It was drastic. So there's no discussion of the flu. There's no discussion of infection. There's no discussion of how to get on the other side of chronic antibiotics. There's no discussion on how to get on the other side of intravenous antibiotics without understanding that the bowel flora owns you. Do you know that when people that study microbiology, this is another fascinating angle on this, people that study microbiology will tell you the probiotics are as much us as we're us. They have such a massive connection with how you think, how you feel, what diseases you get, what diseases you fight, how you perceive reality. Scary. Who's you? Who's us? Who are you? Who am I? And people that study, really study, find that in our evolution, these bugs came in and found a symbiotic relationship that we cannot do without. All the way to this story in Discover Magazine. So an acute flu, maybe this is a little less relevant. Unless you've got great relationship with probiotics, do they cause massive evacuation? Or unless you have a history of probiotic deficiencies due to antibiotic use, if you still get a lot of flus and you've been on antibiotics since you were 6 years old many times for a multitude of reasons, then perhaps you're getting chronic infection because of probiotic deficiency. But nothing to me is more spine-chilling than that fecal enema story. That one really blew my mind. And there was someone called Dr. Cooley, the Cooley vaccine. Look up the Cooley vaccine. Get it on the internet, the Google, and look that up. This is a medical doctor at the turn of the century, I believe it was. And when we industrialized, much of which occurred right at the turn of the century, well, it started earlier, but by the turn of the century, everybody was working in factories. We saw the cancer rates for people working in the factories before environmental controls soared. So Cooley would take these guys that had these horrid cancers that were given up for dead, and he'd inject them with lethal quantities of bacteria. Lethal quantities of bacteria. 50% of the time, the bacteria ate the cancer, and he had 100% cure. The other 50% of the time, of course, things are never simplistic, and the patient died immediately. And because this had such a high cost-benefit ratio, right, if you have a year left with a loved one, and for the sake of doing something that works half the time, they're gone the next day, families tend not to feel good about that. And, of course, all the kinks in the system weren't worked out because Cooley was a pioneer, well-intentioned. And so they told him to stop and threatened him, and that was the end of it. But fascinating little insight there. And then 6 months I read about these probiotics via feces being infused into the bowels of significant others who were really facing surgery. And, you know, when you get part of your intestine cut out, you're never the same. That is not a good thing. And 100% cure in a couple of weeks. Read the article. I'll get it onto the website. I'm starting a library. It's still in process. It'll be another great tool. You'll have the archives to the show, 35, I believe, now. You'll have the library. I'm being filmed. I'll be putting videos, how-to videos on. We're going to turn this whole boat here into its own hospital system. We can do it using technology. And if you don't have a computer, I'm bringing my web designer on pretty soon. And what she's going to start doing out of the center is holding classes. I think we'll even come down to the Southland. I want to put 25, 30 people into a room, each over the age of 60. Nobody in it is allowed to be under the age of 60. You know, I had a class over the weekend, wonderful class. I'm sure you're all listening or will listen. It's so much fun taking 40 people and educating them. But still, about 25% of my class will not look at a computer. And I well understand it. I well understand it. But the thing that hurts you the most when you learn about computers is you know how smart you are. You do. You know you did well in school. You know you handled the family. You know you're a consummate professional at what you know, and you feel like an idiot when you're trying to learn a computer, even an iPhone. Well, I got to tell you something. I've researched this, and the people that make these computers don't care about teaching you. It is revenge of the nerds. I'm sorry. I'm going to go on public record and say that because I am so buried in computers. I own 5 computers. I built this recording studio up here. I've got 4 different cell phones. I just turned in my Android phone for an iPhone, this, that, the other thing. And I look at these software programs, and I ask myself, who wrote this thing? And so do you. Now, I'm 50. You may be 70. That's a whole other generation or two. So I understand, but you got to get hip to the computer. So pretty soon I'm going to start computer classes, and we may even sublet them out down into the Southland around the K-Bright region. And do it that way. But off this website I'm developing, you will have a wonderful, wonderful referral tool. Okay, let's move on. The herbs you take. The minute you feel that little scratch in your throat, the nucleotide quick fix. Nucleoimmune. What is that? I understand in Europe it's a prescription. I understand that this is well known in Europe as something that gets rid of the flu immediately. And yeah, it works. But you've got to catch it the second the flu strikes. So you take that transcontinental flight and there's that big guy that sits next to you and he heaves out a couple of coughs and you kind of get grossed out in your stomach. because you know something bad went down. And then as you get off and you're picking up your luggage, you feel that slight scratch in your throat, or you feel that slight wind up your back, or you feel that slight neck tension. Take the bottle of nucleotide and start. For me personally, 10 every 2 hours. And I haven't had the flu in a long time. I felt it coming occasionally, but it never gets me. A bottle per day. A bottle every 10 every 2 hours. It's 60 in a bottle. So in a 12-hour, you went through a bottle. So what? You go through two bottles in 2 days or three bottles in 3 days. But what are nucleotides? Why do you take nucleotides? Here's the understanding. What a virus does is it digs a hole through the membrane of the cell. It swims on through the guts of the cell, the cytoplasm. It swims on through the nuclear membrane and goes right into your DNA. Then it infiltrates like a spy into your nucleotide sequence. Adenine, guanine, cytosine. It infiltrates into your nucleotide sequence. And then it multiplies itself until the cell bursts. And when it bursts with more of these viral strands. And the whole process potentiates. Free radicals work the same way. They take down the cell, and that initiates another free radical event. Common way for bad things to work is to catalyze a reaction that just self-perpetuates. Well, that's what viruses do. So what your body has to do is not just kill the virus. When you get the flu, your body, you got to get this, guys. Your body is not just there to kill the virus. Your body has to rebuild the cell. It has to repair the cell. It has to make new cells or repair old cells. That's two different things. So what do you need then to accelerate the rate of cell repair? You need more nucleotides. Your body's got to mobilize the tools necessary to rebuild DNA. If you can rebuild your DNA, you've attached, you've supplemented to the limiting variable, the rate limiting variable. So now we're going to introduce another term, very relevant here at the onset of the flu. The minute you feel that scratch in the throat, the rate limiting variable is not to kill the virus, it's to how fast you can rebuild the cells. And that's why you take nucleotide, because the rate limiting variable to rebuilding a cell is to get the DNA, to remake the DNA, and the DNA is made of nucleotides. That's the genius of that. Back it up with allicin, not quite as much. I like 24 to 32 a day. Why allicin? The sulfur. If the microbes are starting to have a party, meaning the virus is starting to immunosuppress you, right? In other words, what? If the virus is beginning to draw the troops, the immune system cells, to itself, the lymphocytes, etc., to the Western front, the bacteria on the Eastern front say, ha-ha, now it's time for us to start growing. No, they don't think like that. They're stupid. Microbes don't have brains. They're just little things under the microscope. Microbes are faster in adapting to stress than we are. It's why they're there. Much faster and better. Some say in the end the microbes will be left standing. When the bomb dropped in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, that ended World War II. Do you know that in the places where the bomb hit, they cultured out microbes? Something even survived the nuclear blast. And if we had to bet, we would have known it would have been microbes. Very, very smart. So when the virus comes in, it sends a message over to the bacteria to kick in. So you want to bring in a strong antiviral, and you want to have some sulfur in your body, bear garlic. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need that because I eat garlic. No, you don't. You don't eat garlic like bear garlic. There is no comparison. Please understand the difference. There are wonderful uses for herbs, and there are wonderful delusions that people cling to using herbs. Again, the intelligence behind the process is what determines your success or whether you spin. So my approach, and you can vary yours, and you can listen to your body, and you can take other opinions, but you have to understand why you're doing what. Every 2 hours, 10 nucleotide. The minute you feel that scratch of the throat, and in a day, say you take 6 to 8, 3 to 4 times a day of the allicin complex. If you're not suffering from chronic issues, in other words, if your fundamentals are not so blown out, if you've been sleeping, if you do not have tooth infections, if you are not going through some horrendous stress, if you are not exposed occupationally every single day to terrible chemicals, if you are not exposed every single day to all sorts of radiation, you see, and the list goes on. If you have not just had your fifth child in 7 years and you are an exhausted mom, unless you have fundamental issues that are long term, that quick knockout fix will do the story. Why does the body often not want food? Boy, I didn't finish the show once again. I need a 90-minute show. I got to work on that because I can't do a third of a show the next show. Does it make sense? Why does the body not want food? Why? Because if you rest digestion, you have more available immune system cells. The worse the diet, the more your immune system will concentrate in your gut. 90% of your immune system is in the gut. So this brings us to another perception. It's called the end of the show. I don't know what to do. Okay, my friends. StraightTalk.cc, get on to the website, listen to the show, get into the library as we open it up. February 12th is my next class. Those of you who are in the class, please sign up for the class this week. Otherwise, I have to open it up, and I want to see you all back. Those of you who are on the waiting list, please be patient. I can only do so much. God bless you. You have a wonderful, fantastic week, and don't get the flu.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.